Blog Talk Radio.
$10, and if anybody is does not know who they are, you need to check out Ron Dalton for Hebrews to Negro, and I play his music, and that is his music, and I'm telling you, I love, love, love his videos. I love his movie, the music, and I play it all the time on my show because we have to know, and it's time for us to know who we are. We are in for a treat today. And as you guys saw the title was what? The New Black is what? People of color. That's what they're calling us now. That's not who we are. We are BLACK, and it's time for us to understand that. And it's really time for us to really try to concentrate on getting our own nationality. And I keep telling people that, but people seem to fail to realize that this is something that we need to do. Let me give you Blog Talk, the number to call in Blog Talk in case you guys want to talk and you want to speak to me. That number is going to be 563-999-3682. Again, 563-999-3682. And I appreciate everybody that's tuning in now and who's going to tune in after the show. I appreciate everybody spending your day with me. I'm only going to be on here for an hour. I'm not going to be on here all day because it's just a few pointers that I am going to talk about. My daughter, she makes smoothies, right? So you're going to see me sipping on a smoothie that she created, and she's a smoothie queen, okay? That is her brand, and she is doing her own business, and it's all about entrepreneurship, and that is the spirit that's in our family, and it's all about us new beginnings, and it's all about us doing what we were put on this earth to do, right? I am just, I'm looking at some things going on, and I hope you guys are still supporting our brother Jay, okay? If you go to Mitchie X's page, that's the NSAC guy, okay? I hope you guys are supporting him, and I hope that he didn't put his neck on the line for black people, and black people turned their back on him, okay? I'm so concerned about that. We need to be going to his GoFundMe, and we need to be supporting him. This brother is not just about the guns, you guys. This is trying to shut the movement down, trying to shut him down, trying to shut down the movement so that we can stay stuck, so that we can stay depending on white supremacy, so that we can stay in bondage, okay? I don't know who wants to be free or who's tired or what's going on, but I'm telling you, I'm tired of what I'm seeing. I'm tired of I'm tired of being in bondage. I'm tired of what I'm seeing. I'm tired of the abuse. But it's almost like they say, hey, you can be abused. We can abuse you. Shut up, sit down, and take it, and don't try to do nothing about it. Don't try to be free, because guess what? Either we're going to give you time, or we're going to cause your death. And right now, death is unacceptable. We should not have to just sit down and shut up when you're abusing us. Even a dog at some point going to bite you, okay? You run this dog in the corner, this dog is going to bite you, right? Okay, we're biting right now, and we're not going to sit down. We're not going to shut up. It is time for you to understand what's really going on here, family. And it's about us holding our money. And I talk about this all the time to people, holding our money. And what I mean about holding our money, we're worth $1.2 trillion. We start group economics right now. I'm trying to do this community store. I can't do it by myself. I'll put more information in the comments under each video as far as Jay, where you can give to his GoFundMe. And I, Master Jay was saying, Master Jay NFAC, it's a GoFundMe, but you can go into Master J, and it's only one out there. And if you go on Michi's page, I think she has it on her page, and he does have videos out. And I think he's got a few videos out, and his videos are talking a little bit. And I think his video gives you, I'm looking at that now, I think his videos give you information about the GoFundMe. And I'm looking it up right now just to see if I can find a video that he has. Hold on, family. Hold on, let me see. The GoFundMe, I'm trying to see if it's in the video. Sorry, you guys. I'm trying to see if it is. I'm going to look it up and see, because I know he has a GoFundMe out there, and I want to make sure that I give it to you before I leave, because it is time for us to support our own, and we got to stop with the brainwashing. Black folks, we get in trouble, and we can't count on each other. No, I think we need to do better. And I'm looking up his GoFundMe net right now, Master J. GoFundMe, and I'm going to see what it is. Because I know I've gone to Michi's page by Rosemary Parker. Okay, I see two on here. But I know he said the one by Rosemary Parker is the one we should be going into, family. There's another one on here by somebody else. Don't do that one. The one that Michi X has been talking to us about was the one by Rosemary Parker. And it is the GoFundMe by Grandmaster J Legal Defense, okay? So I want you guys to – and it is Rosemary Parker is organizing this fundraiser. And I want to show it to you guys, because I don't want you guys to do the wrong one, okay? Now, that's the one, and if you can see the title. I'm trying to see if you guys will be able to see the title. I don't think you guys will be able to. Can you see the title, you guys? Okay, that's the one. It's the GoFundMe by Rosemary, okay? And her last name is Parker, okay? And it's called the Grand Master J GoFundMe. I'm trying to make sure that I get it right in there. Grandmaster J Defense, okay? And so far, he's doing really super great, but that's not enough. I want you guys to continue giving. This is our brother, and he has went out of his way to defend. He's been creating a defense fund, a defense for the Black community. Don't let them kill the movement. Don't let them stop him and his tribe because they think, okay, we cut the head off and the rest will die. No, we have to let him know that we are not going to give up and we are not going to stop, okay? Let's support our brother, you guys. Go on here and keep giving. If you give 10, if you give 5, if you give 2, give something, you guys. Do not leave this brother out here too dry and we not take up and we not do for him, okay? If I had $1 million, I'd give it all to him just so he could make sure that he had the right defense to beat this charge because it's nothing. But you have to have, and you know in America, you have to have the right defense and you have to use the right words. And, it's going to take money to do what he's trying to do. But I think we need to support our brother. I'm just saying. Okay, we don't leave him out to dry like this. Okay, but now you know we're going to go there. But I also wanted to put the Gunfold GoFundMe as far as the community store. We have been looking for a spot. Thought I had a spot. And another spot we looked at. It's going to need a little work. The rent is great. But it's going to need a little work, but we're not trying to do that. We're not trying to put that much work into a store starting out, okay? And what we're trying to do is the New Beginning Community Store is going to be a store. We're going to ask vendors to rent the spaces inside the store. Vendors will come. They'll pay us maybe $50, $60 a week. So if you're trying to start your own business, you can rent out a space in the store. And we're looking for pledges, people that want to pledge maybe $20 every 2 weeks, or you want to pledge $15, you want to pledge something to help us with the GoFundMe, with the the monthly bills, that's fine. If you want to say, hey, this is for toward the rent, this is toward the food that's going to go in the community store, whatever, okay? I think it's time for us to do group economics. Nothing is going to change unless we change it. And when we talked about the Biden, when I hear about Biden and what he said and how he's been talking about the immigrants and stuff and how he's saying we need to work with immigrants, no, we need to work with ourselves. We don't need to work with anybody. You know what we need. Why is it everybody else can get what they need except Black people? I don't understand. You didn't tell the immigrants that they had to work with us. You didn't tell the Jews they have to work with Germany. You don't tell the Asians they have to work with the Indians. You didn't tell the Indians they need to work with. You didn't say all that. But when it comes to Black people, you say, hey, you need to learn how to work with the Mexicans. We don't need to learn how to work with anybody. They weren't even born here. So why are we going to learn how to work with anybody was not born in this country? You came here. You have a country. You came here trying to out for that American dream, but you getting, you going through a lot just like we are. But my thing is, we don't have to work. We have to work with each other to hold our money. If they cannot do what we need them to do for us, then we need to do it for ourselves. We need to create our own new reality. Just like Biden said, he's already told you, I'm not going to do this or this for Black people, and I believe him. And we have to believe him, and we have to start doing what we need to do and take it upon ourselves to do what needs to be done in our community. It's going to take group economics, and Dr. Claude Anderson has told us this several times before, that it is going to take us coming together and producing for us. I was talking about the store. That is a place for us to start. Where are we going to place food? We need food. If they tell us to get this vaccine and if we don't take the vaccine, then you're not going to eat. Where are you going to go to get your food? That's what I was thinking about. That's what I was trying. That's why I was trying and am trying to get the community store, because I think it's going to be a place for us to go to have a place to go to get our food. Okay, they tell you, hey, you can't do this, that, the other unless you take the vaccine. We can say, the hell with your vaccine. We're not taking your vaccine, and we'll still eat. We'll sell water. We'll sell drinks. We'll let different people to come in and say, for instance, somebody may sell water there. Some people may sell food. Some people may sell like catering suites or catering dinners, or somebody may come and they may want to sell purses, or somebody may come and want to sell earrings. Or whatever, it's going to be a place for people that don't ordinarily have a business, that but you want a business, this will be a place for you to start your own business. We'll have a place for massages, tattoos. We'll have a place if you want to get your eyebrows done. This is our community store. This is the place for you to come in order for us to spend money with us, okay? I think it's time for us to do that. And, we're not going to get everybody. I know that. And it's okay. We're not going to get everybody. I'm not even trying to get everybody. But the ones that are interested, come on. It's GoFundMe. It's the new beginning community store. That's what our GoFundMe is. And don't forget, Master J, here's GoFundMe. We've put it up on the screen for you. So just don't forget, we do want to support our brother. I'm gonna keep saying that throughout the program because we will not. We will support our brother. We will not leave him out to dry. We will not. We need to write your congressman and let them know that those charges need to go away, plain and simple. We need to let them know that we will rise up if you continue what you're doing. If these charges don't go, if you continue what you're doing, then we need to rise up, plain and simple. It is fight or flight, you guys. And that's at what point we are right now. But it's time to think about what it is and what's our next step here in this country. If you plan on staying, how are you going to be free? What are you going to do to be free? If you plan on leaving, where are we going? You need to decide. Africa's a huge continent, and that's my thinking. Costa Rica, Africa, Malunga is somewhere black. Because if we move in South Africa, it's not a choice for me because if we move someplace and you have majority white, you're going to go through the same racism. I don't want to go to anywhere white in South Africa. I don't want to go to South Africa. I can stay here and face that racism. I don't want to go to Morocco, Egypt. I don't want to go where there's anybody that's lighter than I am. I'm just saying. I would prefer to stay amongst my own. But I'm going to tell you about something that really bothered me today. And I saw where the government of Gambia, and I hope this is not true, but he's a government official and he's over the land. And he said something about told landowners in Africa not to allow us African Americans to purchase their land. And that kind of bothered me a little bit because we have been traumatized. We have gone through hell. We've been abused. We've gone through burnings. We've gone through bug breaking. We've gone through so much hell, and we hate ourselves. It's called self-hate. If you have a man in another country and you're telling landowners not to sell your land to black African Americans, that hurts, especially when you're black. But then you turn around, but you're saying you didn't really give a reason why. You just told them not to sell their land to us, but you didn't say that when the Chinese came. You didn't say that when the Indians come. You're not saying that when the Arabs come. You're not saying that when people that don't look like you come. You're open and ready for them to sell their land to them. But when it comes to us, you're going to tell them not to sell your land. That's kind of questionable. I don't understand that theory. But my thing is, I say, okay, Americans, you black America, you don't have to go to the Gambia. You can go to other. There are so many other countries in Africa that you can go to. Ghana, okay, for one. Ethiopia, Uganda, Mozambique, Tanzania, Rwanda. Those are other countries in Africa where we can go and we can purchase land. And I've not heard them say anything negative. Actually, Ghana has welcomed us year return, and it's continuously to welcome us. So if the Gambia wants to be like that, then we just don't, have anything to do with Gambia. You just stay away from Gambia, and you let the Chinese take their little spot, and you have your way with the Chinese, and we'll go somewhere where we are wanted, okay? But I'm glad that he let us know how he felt, and because we don't need black leaders that look like us but feel like he does. So my thing is we have black leaders here in America that feel the same way about black folks. We don't need to deal with them. We need to actually vote them out, and he needs to be voted out if he can. We need to vote them out, even here in America, like Karen Bass, who was part of the Black Panthers or part of the black movement, but has never done anything since she's been in office for black people. So that's my concern when I meet black people or I see black people in foreign countries like Gambia who say, no, you don't want to sell your land, who has power. This is a powerful person. He's a governor. I shouldn't say governor. He's one of those. He's a top person in Gambia who is land over the landhold, okay? And that is his job. And he told them not to sell their land to us, which is so sad because we are so full of trauma and hurt that and self-hate, okay? And here we are looking to our brothers, and he's showing this land the same self-hate. He's displaying the same trauma that he's gone through from probably some South Africans there, white, who have not treated him the best, or maybe some Chinese or Indian people who are there now who have not treated him very well. So we have to get to the point where we are coming together, and it's now more than ever before. Time is of an essence right now for us to come together and really depend on each other and have each other's back and really go to bat for each other. And right now, this is the time for us to do it, even with Grandmaster Jay, okay? We always have to remember our brother. He needs us now. We don't walk away from family member when they need you most. You don't walk away from family when you know they're in a crunch. You don't walk away from family when you know they're down and out. We don't walk. That's not what we do. We didn't used to do that. I don't know where that theory came from. We didn't used to do that, but we do that more now than we ever have. We do that more now than we ever have before. I told you I'm drinking a little smoothie, so if you see me drinking my daughter, she made me a smoothie. So if you see me drinking it, it's very good. So if you see me drinking it, okay, y'all, excuse me, but, yeah. And it's really super good. It is really good. To remember our brother. Let's not forget, okay? I also wanted to talk to you about hanging. I'm noticing, I saw the other day on Feel the African Diaspora News where a young man, we got to kind of write everything down, Omari Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, Brian, I think that's how you pronounce it. He was outside of his hotel room in Homerville, Georgia. I don't know where that's at. Don't sound like it's where we need to be or where we used to be or have been. But his name is Omari Brian. And he was outside of his hotel room hung. I don't know. I just can't imagine. You're out and I just can't make sense of this. And this is not the first one. It's not the second one. This is like the seventh or eighth, you know, in this year. Probably more than that in 2020 that has been found hung. And they're calling it, of course, suicide. I do believe that the police is working in with this, and this is why they're calling it suicide. We don't know how to, I keep telling you, we don't know how to tie nooses. At least I don't know how to tie a noose. I don't know how many of my black friends know how to tie a noose. But I remember asking black people, and nobody knows how to tie a noose. So I'm not understanding how are they saying that it's suicide? And I do believe that the police officers are in on it, because my thing is, if you're not investigating anything and if you don't see any, hanging, how do you get up there and hang yourself? If I'm up there and I hang myself, I had to climb up there on something. So when I hang myself, it's got to be a bucket, it's got to be a chair, it's got to be something that's underneath me. If I come and I see somebody hanging and I don't see a chair, I'm going to think, well, how the hell did I get up there? How did you get up there? And what did you do? You got down and moved the chair? What happened to the chair? That's my thinking. I'm going to look for evidence. I'm going to look for how did this person get up here? And the last hanging, the family member said that when they got there, or they asked the police what was there, and they didn't say there was a chair, and this one, I think, was hung on the basketball rim, I think, if I'm not mistaken. This one was hung on the basketball rim, and his family asked him, was there a chair, or was there a stool, was there something out there, and they said no. So my thinking is, you're saying a suicide. How am I getting up there to be able to hang myself? I'm not understanding that. That makes no sense to me. And I keep asking the question because I'm like trying to make sense up here, and it's not making sense. So if it's not making sense to me, it's not making sense to them, and it's surely not making sense to us, family, because you know and I know that it's not suicide. You know and I know we are waiting for them to tell us, hey, it's been a lynching. They're not going to tell you that. They're going to continuously tell us it's suicide until we do something and say something and bring it up to their attention. No, we're not believing that it's suicide. We're not believing that it's we're not going to continuously believe that it's a suicide, because it's not, okay? This is really concerning. He was in Homerville, Georgia, and outside of his hotel room, and come to find out that that morning he was just found there hanging.
I'm not. We have to do something, family. We have to say something. If we don't bring attention to this, then it's going to continue happening. Let's not wait until something hits our door before we wake up to it, or before we mention it, or before we stand up for it. Why does it have to hit your door? Why is your brother not your concern? Why is your sister not your concern? Why is something that happens to another black person not your concern until it happens to you? Let's not be like that, because anything could happen. You're going to need somebody sometimes. You're going to need somebody at some point in your life, right? Let's stop and figure out what's going on and be an assistant, our brother, his family, because it could happen. It could be yours. It could happen to you. And when things happen to us, we want everybody to care. But then when things happen to other people, like Master Jay, nobody's concerned. Nobody's, you know, paying no attention. Well, it wasn't me. He should have did it. He knew. We come up with all of this stuff, and it bothers me, because people are stepping out to, like Ice Cube, he stepped out to protect us, and what do? We dogged him. Master Jay stepped out to protect us. What do? We dogged him. Other people have stepped out to protect us. What do? We dog them. We gotta be done with that. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. I was thinking about they were saying one young man was executed last night, day before. I'm sorry. And Kim Kardashian, they was dogging her out because they said, oh, she's trying to do it to get some attention, or she's doing it for publicity. And I'm like, it doesn't matter why she did it. She didn't have to do it. But I appreciate her for doing it, because it put a little light on his case, put a little bit of light on him. He still died, but she did try. And I think a couple others she's tried and actually have gotten them out. My thing is, keep trying, sister. My thing is, if you can get them out, get them out. She's probably more, they were probably more or less listen to her than one of us. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is, Kim, if you can get them out, girl. Go ahead and do what you do. Make it happen. And we are just so, this, and it bothers me so, because we jump on her case for even helping, for even trying it. And I'm like, I'm sure the people that she's gotten out before is excited about her even trying. Because that's either they could have spent the rest of their life in jail, or she helped them to get out, and they ended up getting out. But they could have spent the last 30 or 40 years in jail. Who would have cared? But she cared enough to even try. She cared enough, and she has connection with President Trump at the time. And my thing is, if she can get him out, get him out. Why do we get so upset when people help black people? If I said they're black or white, we get so upset and not notice that. And I'm like, why do we do that? Why do we get so upset when we are trying to help, when we have people that are trying to help us? We go off. Just like Ice Cube, he had a contract. He said, okay, contract for Black America. We want to ask for this, the black folks. We just went in on him. And I'm like, why do we go in on somebody that was actually trying to help us? But we always do that. I don't care if they're white, black, orange. Every time somebody tries to help black people, other black people that look like us, that look like me, we go in on that person. Can anybody help me out with that? I don't understand. Hold on, guys. I don't understand. Can anybody help me to understand that? I don't get it. I thought it was, if it was somebody black that was trying to save us. But we go in on anybody. And I think this is a mindset, and we have to change our mindset. And it's going to start with us educating our own. And let me just share a story with you. My granddaughter, she used to go to a public school, and she was having such a rough time with the teachers. And one teacher, I'm going to put her on medication. I'm like, why do you want to put her on medication? I don't understand that. And I found out by Dr. Umar Johnson that they get so much money when they put our children on medication. And label them and try to label them. So I told my daughter, I said, no, we're not going to do that. She's going to have to either teach a different way, or she's going to have to, we're going to work, which we always have worked with her. But we switched schools on her. We took her out of the white public school, and we put her into Muslim school, which is NOI. I call it NOI, but my daughter calls it something else. And I'm telling you what, my grandbaby got her first report card, and she made honor roll. We're talking about all these. I'm just saying, it matters who teaches our children. It matters who teaches our children if they act like they care. And my granddaughter was getting to the point before where she didn't want to go to school. It was just that hard. Every day was something. And I remember one time I called in on a teacher that I guess one little white girl had said something, and she was trying to get the information from my granddaughter told about a situation, and the teacher asked her, who do you think I will believe, you or somebody else? And the story was sounded so, you know, but my granddaughter had too much information connected to the story. And I was like, she didn't say that. She goes, yeah, she said blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, she didn't say that. But she had so much information about the situation that I thought, this is, you know what I'm saying? You know if your child is lying or not. You know if your granddaughter or your grandchild is lying or not. But I thought that was, you know, just so amazing because she has black teachers now. And I'm telling you, I could tell the difference in her education, the difference in her communication, the difference in how she looks, and the topics they have. It's just great topics. You know, it's just great all the way around. I am just so excited. And she was excited. She was running around. Oh my God. I mean, it was just so amazing to see that. And I do believe that it matters who's educating our children. Everybody can't educate our children. But we have to understand that. But I always say, do we see the Jews allowing Germany to teach their children, or the Indians allowing Americans, or Arabs allowing Asians to teach their children? You have to look at that. We are the only ones that allow our enemies to teach our children, and it is time for us to actually take our time for us to stop allowing our enemies to teach and educate our children. It is time for us to educate our own children, okay? And it's time for us to do that. That's not something that we're doing, and I don't understand why. We know their plans. We know that their plan is to take them from schools to prison, but we still allow them to teach our children, which I don't understand why. If you know somebody is doing a jacked-up job, why would you continue allowing them to do it? That's my question to Black America. And if you know, if you could leave and relocate and go to another country and money wasn't an option, would you go to Africa? Or where would you go? And why would you go there? That's a question that I've asked people. And I remember my cousin said the other day, because I'm talking to her about moving, and she's like, well, if you run, you run. And she thinks I'm running. And I'm like, no, I'm going for safety. I am going for safety purposes. I'm going someplace where I know, where life's going to be a little bit better for me. I'm going to be able to get in my own business, able to do some other things that I want to do, and it's going to be more safer than here. And I think by me going, I can start a new beginning there with my children and my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, because if I go, my kids go, their children go, and their children, you know what I'm saying, for generation, and it'll start us going into a new direction. Because, you know, some people said, well, you go over there, you may die in Africa. I'm like, well, I'm taking my chance. I'm dying here in America. I see black boys dying every day. I see black girls dying every day. I said, so I think I'll take my chances. I can't look at it or think about it like that. I think that I have to look at it as if to say, if I stay here, I'm gonna be in danger. And if we go, you know, I don't see us going into danger if we leave. You know what I'm saying? So these are just the topics that I kind of wanted to throw out, and I also wanted to talk about the Biden, your best friend, your president Biden. And what upset me was how he met with the Black Caucus, or the Black leaders, so-called Black leaders. I don't even want to call them Black leaders because I think they sold that out a long time ago. I don't want to call them leaders because they're not. A while ago. And I wrote Karen Bass the other day, and I asked her, I said, how does it feel? Because I know that she was one of the Black Panthers, or she was one of the with the Martin Luther King movement. I think it was the Martin Luther King movement. And she was real, you know, like, we want those, right? And they she sold us out. And people don't understand that when you are working for the government, you literally sold your party out, because nobody that's working for Biden now is black first. Nobody is black first, because he wouldn't dare put somebody black first in his, you know, on his campaign team. Or he would never pick somebody that says, oh, I'm black, I want black first, because that's not the type of people he deals with. He deals with people that have sold their, you know, souls or sold their culture out. That's the type of people he deals with. Didn't her, I asked her the other day, I asked her, I said, how does it feel to know that at first you used to be black first, you used to fight for black people, and now you see police officers murdering us. You hear Joe Biden say, I'm not going to do anything, or Jim Crow Joe say, I'm not going to do anything for black people. And Kamala Harris has said that also, I'm not going to do anything for black people. How does that make you feel to see that you sold black people out? I don't know how people sleep at night knowing that black folks have a need. They're being murdered, unarmed, and nothing's happening. Or just whatever happens to black people, we either get set up, you know, we try to make a stand, or we get death, or we get prison. And then you have an opportunity to be free, and you won't even step up there. You are in powerful positions like Daniel Cameron. He's in a powerful position to actually help black people and won't. That, to me, is just the most disgusting ever. That is just the most disgusting that I've ever seen. I just can't deal with people that have the power but do nothing, okay? And I think Daniel Cameron has the power to do something and won't. Go and figure that one out, okay? I wanted to really talk about the immigrants and how they're trying to replace black people with the immigrants. You know that, right? Because Biden just said, I'm going to bring 300 million immigrants into this country, and that's why he told them. Immigrants are going to be leaders. They're going to have a major part in this country. And I went to the mall the other day. Check this out. I went to the mall the other day, and this mall used to be, you know, predominantly I would see a lot of black people in this mall. But come to find out now, I see more Mexicans in the mall. I see more of them working in the mall. I don't see as many black people working in the mall. I don't know where are black people working, you guys. What happened? Where are black people working now? Because I see it's more Mexicans working. It's more Mexican shopping. It's more Mexicans, you know, inside the mall. But I'm like, where are black people? Where are they shopping? Where are they working? It used to be black people worked in the mall. It's changing. The dimension is changing. I don't see black people holding important jobs. I don't see them holding important positions. I don't see them holding, like, CEO positions or management positions. And I look at that because where I came from, Virginia, we have black managers. We have black supervisors. We have black, you know, CEOs, and, you know, because the bus station at GRTC where I work, he's black. So I'm used to black people being in control and leadership positions. When I came to North Carolina, I don't see any black folks in any leadership positions. And I looked at Biden's cabinet and I said, man, I didn't see him hire one black director, one black anybody that was going to handle millions and trillions of dollars. I didn't see that. And I thought, why is that? But you have to understand that Biden has that mentality, that old mentality that he's had for hundreds of years. I won't say thousands of years because he reminds me of a, you know, Neanderthal way back in the day. But I look at that and I go, he didn't hire any black people in management positions because his mindset is not there. He still has that old racist mindset. And I'm going to tell you what, I used to tell people, a zebra can't change his stripes, right? Biden cannot change his stripes. He is racist. He's been racist. But Trump was just a little bit loud with his racism. But Biden, he's one of them sneaky racists, okay? He'll throw the rock, write a law, and look around and say, oh, your leaders did it. Oh, your church leaders did it. Oh, the NAACP did it. Oh, you know, he's blaming everybody around him but himself. That's what you're dealing with when you're looking at Joe Biden. Jim Crow Joe is what I call it. That's what you're looking at. You're not looking at a man that's going to be honest with the people, and it's about the people. So when he tells me, no, I'm not going to dismantle or defund the police, and I'm like, dude, why? that system needs to come down. And, of course, you of all people should know about it, because look at how many, you know, look at how the prison system that you created. He knew about that system. He created the system. So what? You thinking you're not going to make any more money off of us? It's enough prisons out there, prison industry, that need to be reformed. It's enough prisons out there where everybody can have a little bit and still make money. I'm just saying, you know. But it's sad that we want to capitalize on somebody else's black folks' stuff. You know what I'm saying? No, you can't capitalize on other people's, you know, misdealings, you know. But we do all the time, which is so sad. But when he, you know, was, you know, kind of fussing and cuffing us out as far as doing for black people, and literally told you, I am not going to do anything that's going to go against the Constitution. But I'm like, hold on, if Trump did something, if actually helped the people who backed him, he actually gave them something. What is Biden saying that he's going to give us? Anything? No. He's not saying one word about him offering us anything to help black people, you know, or to get us out the rut or to close the wealth gap or to help us with financial aid. I mean, he's not saying anything that's not going to include everybody. We don't want you to include everybody. We want you just to include black people. It bothers me when I hear people say black and brown, because we always mention Mexican people. We always mention race, immigrants, but they never mention us. When they talk about Mexicans. They talk about their own, right? But when we talk about black and brown. Black and brown this, black and brown that. And I asked a guy on Facebook, I said, why do you do that? Why do you bring up black and brown people when they never bring us up? Never. I have never seen them to a point. Hold on, guys. I'm trying to make sure my camera's not right. My camera's right. Okay. But then that light is, there's windows. But my thing is, why do we always mention brown people? They never mention us. The Costa lady, she'll tell you, I am Spanish first. She'll tell you, I am Spanish first, meaning I'm for my people first. And then if there's any of me left over, then you'll get a little piece. But right now, she's telling people. You know, she'll tell people. But my thing is, we have to show people that we are black first. Stop buying their stuff. Stop supporting the food. Stop buying Chinese and stop doing Walmart. Stop doing a whole lot of other stuff that we're doing, and let's do group up the economics. We can build our own community stores nationwide. Also, I wanted to do a clinic that was nice next to the community store. I want to have doctors, dentists, and lawyers come in there. So I'm appealing to my lawyers right now, my doctors and my dentists. I need you to come to serve one day a week in a clinic, and you'll get paid, okay? May not get paid as much as what you want, but you'll still get paid by black people. We do, you know, some people have insurance, and you'll be able to put it on the insurance or whatever, but I need for you come into the black community to help us out. We won't be able to pay you full price. We won't be able to pay you what you could make in a hospital or make, but we need our own clinics, especially with this COVID coming. We need our own lawyers. We need our own doctors, and I wish that we could have our team of investigators, that somebody out here get together and they can go nationwide. And right now, we need a team right now that's going to go to Homerville, Georgia, to see what happened to this young man that was found hanging. We need a team that could have went out and investigated Aubrey's death. We needed a team to go out and investigate Brianna's death. We needed a team to investigate Trayvon Martin's death. We need a team of a defense team or an investigatory team that can actually go out and create some of these crimes that we've seen. Just like we had two activists in Louisville to die. You guys know that, right? I don't know his name. Let me see. I'm going to try to pull it up. We had two activists in Louisville to die. And hold on. And they died. And they were involved in the Breonna Taylor's case. So that's very suspect. It says known Louisville activists die in shooting confirmed by local chaplain. One person killed, another person injured in two Louisville shootings, okay? I want to see about this local activist. Okay, what was his name? I know it was two of them.
But you guys understand something's wrong here. Remember in Michael Brown's case where you had activists that was all of the activists died, Darren Seals and others, and all of the activists died, but this is a 42-year-old Breonna Taylor activist was fatally shot in Kentucky weeks after the death of an organizer who was half his age. And this one was 42, but there was another one, and that other one was like 20, 21. I think his name was Chris Smith. Hold on, let me see what was his name. A group of the protesters gathered in the streets in the Marotta. I'm trying to see the guy's name. 42-year-old Breonna Taylor activist was shot in Kentucky weeks after death. Okay, what is his name? I'm not sure his name. Chris Smith, 42, was the victim of one of two shootings that occurred on Friday. Satchel, a local chaplain, told the Louisville Courier-Journal, Bussey assisted Smith's wife as she identified the activist's body at the hospital. According to the report, Louisville police have yet to identify Smith, but reported a wounded body in a car Friday afternoon, according to the newspaper. According to Louisville Courier, Smith recorded live streams and footage during protests over the death of Breonna. Just like everybody else, he was finding his niche, finding his voice at the protest, Bussey told Louisville Courier Journal. Smith ultimately passing comes after the death of another known Breonna Taylor activist, 21-year-old Hamza Travis Nagby, who died after a shooting on November 23rd, as Courier Journal reported. Those associated with Nagby told the newspaper that he was irreplaceable and was looked upon as a pillar in the community. This is so sad, and you guys are not going to tell me that these are not related, okay? Just like in Michael Brown, how many of those guys died in the Michael Brown case? And this is very suspect. So this is what I'm saying. This is why I tell you guys we need our own investigative team. We need our own team because this right here needs to be investigated. I'm just saying. And when we are doing stuff like this, we are activists, and we're speaking out. We need security. Either you need to have your candy bars with you, or you need a defense team. And that's what NFAC was trying to do, a defense team. And I do believe that he was trying to do, you know, and it was just to make sure that police officers were doing what they were supposed to do. And a defense team is to investigate different killings and murders that was going on. And this one right here is very suspect to me. You have two activists to die within 30 days apart, okay? I'm just saying. It says Smith and Nagby were shot at locations in Louisville that are about six. Smith in a 2000 block of North 26th Street, and Nagby in the 21st block of Crittenden Drive, okay? Some of the police are still looking for suspects. But don't they have, like, satellite where you can, you know, pull up satellite visions and see what's going on? I think it's more advanced than that. So you're not going to tell me that. And then they said related and no motives at this time. But you're not going to tell me that these are not related. There's one more other guy that had a lot of information about the case. And Queen, she comes on Queen. I'm not gonna say her name because I get her name. But she comes on 9 o'clock and 6 o'clock on YouTube Live, and she's called Queen. Okay, and she does a lot of stories, which she's amazing. She does a lot of stories, and it was a guy that she was talking about. I don't know if that's the same guy as far as this Travis guy is, but you're not gonna tell me that this right here is not related. This is very heartening, and it's very disgusting because things, you know, just like these hangings, just because the police say so, we're going to call them suicide because the police say so. Just like this. Just like this reminds me of the story of Michael Brown, Joshua Brown, who came and testified in the Botham Jean case, and he testified that Wednesday and Friday he was dead. You're not going to tell me that the police department did not do that. I don't care. You are not going to tell me that they didn't. I'm so tired of stuff happening, and black folk act so nonchalant because it's not you, because it didn't happen to you. Well, let's stop it so it don't happen to you. This should not happen to anybody. We should be able to live in a country where we should be able to voice our voices and have equal justice for everybody. And you see that what's happening, and people look and be like, well, you know, it's self-defense, or it was a suicide, or the police are justified, knowing that you just shot a boy. And let's talk about the boy who got shot in the back carrying a damn sandwich. Let's talk about that one. What was that dude's name? That was another one I want to talk about. And that is just, that's shocking. I'm like, well, what's the dude's name? Let me look him up. This one had, he was carrying a sandwich. And he was at his door. Police shot him. He was, hold on, I'm going to read it to you. He was actually carrying a sandwich. And it came from Subway. And a black man shot dead by police. Hold on. While carrying the sandwich, family said. Goodson was shot inside his house while he was holding a sandwich, not a gun. Now, this is ridiculous. Let me see. The fatal shooting of 23-year-old Goodson by an Ohio sheriff's deputy on Friday, December 4th, 2020, is now under investigation by the state criminal investigation. My thing is, how can you investigate yourself? There is no way that we are going to get any legal justice by allowing these devils to investigate themselves. That just don't make no sense. Let me see. The guy's name was Casey, T-A-S-E-Y, Goodson. Let me read it. An Ohio sheriff deputy shot and killed a black man who, according to his family, was holding a sandwich and entering his home at the time in a case that will be examined by federal investigators. You're talking about the FBI, who's now bringing up charges, false charges, on Grandmaster, NFAC man, because he is voicing his opinion and speaking out for black people. Those are the same, that's the same FBI that's doing this investigation of Casey Goodson's shooting. Really? That's ridiculous. That makes no sense. Casey Goodson was fatally shot on Friday on the north side of Columbus by Deputy Jason Meade, a veteran of Franklin County Sheriff's Department, okay? The family of the 23-year-old, let me ask you a question, family. Are you noticing a pattern here? Everybody that's dying is like 30 and under, okay? Now, the 42-year-old that's just read about, that's an exception. But usually these boys are 30 and under. These are their prime ages to reproduce, right? That's the ages where they can have babies, right? They're killing off our young men so that they can't reproduce, so that our culture can die. But every time they try to kill us off, they end up dying off themselves, right? Remember the drugs they put in our neighborhood? What do you see now? You see the opiates, right? And them bastards dying of opiates, they dying like dropping like flies. No matter what they're doing, they're still dying like flies. But I'm going to tell you what, if the doctors had known that opiates would have affected us that the same way, they would have been giving us opiates. They wouldn't give us opiates at the time. When we were wanting opiates, they wouldn't give it to us. You know what they said? They said no, because we were drug addicts and we weren't in pain, and they didn't want us, you know, to be selling them and stuff. So they wouldn't give us opiates, right? But they gave them to white folk, right? So now they did us a favor. So now who died of opiates? You put drugs in our neighborhood, but guess what? The doctors did you the same way. So now you're dying like fly hotcakes over them opiates. But my thing is, every time they try to do harm to us, it ends up coming right back to them, right? And when you hurt us, it's impossible to hurt us without hurting yourself first. I always tell people that. So don't forget that. Always remember that. It's impossible for someone to hurt you without hurting themselves first. A family of the 23-year-old said, has disputed police claims that he was outside the house or holding a gun. They say he was shot in front of two toddlers and his grandmother, okay? The office of U.S. Attorney, whatever, said on Tuesday that it would step in and look at the case, okay, along with the Justice Department of Civil Rights Division. Yeah, right, the FBI. Oh, my God. Are you serious? You mean the same people that killed the Black Panthers that did a shootout and lied and said that the Black Panthers shot at them? You mean those are the same people? Okay. But we're going to trust them that they're going to do a good job trying to figure out this young man's death. This is why we need our own police department, defense department. We need to defund. We need to dismantle. And we need reparations. Those are the three things that we should be concentrating on right now. Dismantling the police. Okay. Dismantling KKK in blue. Defunding the KKK in blue and getting reparations so that we can take our money and we can rebuild. Either we can take our money and go somewhere else, or we can develop our own so that we can spend with our own. I'm serious. If we get this money, it's not one dime need to go to Walmart. Not one dime need to go to white folks. You need to take that money and develop your own. Come from among, be separate, and learn not to waste. That's why we suffer with all this crazy stuff that white folks suffer with. This COVID is not supposed to be affecting us the way that it is, but because we're being so disobedient, that's why we're getting the same punishment. And God told us the same punishment that they get, you're going to get, because we've not come from among, we're learning their ways, and we're not being separate. I'm just saying, this is the problem right here. This is the problem right here, okay? We're going to have to do better. But if we want to continue dying, we won't do anything different. We'll keep on doing the same thing over and over. Just like we voted for a racist darn joke, Jim Crow Joe, right? We voted for him. Okay, what happened? Now, we're going to get the same thing we got with Trump. You don't think that because Democrat or Republican, they're the same people. He's just a less quiet. He's just a little bit quieter with his racism, okay? You're looking at the bird, the same bird, different wings, the same bird. You're looking at the right wing or the left wing. Which one? Doesn't matter. Republican, Democrat. Same bird attached to the same wings attached to the same bird, right? Okay, let's continue reading. Okay, FBI in Cincinnati and the Columbus, Ohio, after the state attorney general office declined to investigate the incident, stating that the police department didn't ask soon enough. Didn't ask soon enough what? What the? Okay, please help me because this made no sense. The case was initially given to the city police because the sheriff's office does not oversee investigation of its own deputies in fatal shootings, and the police department did not release such details as the name of Goodson and the deputy who shot him until Sunday. Since then, Goodson relatives and law enforcement officials have given conflicting details. Okay, visible evidence of the event is lacking because the sheriff's office does not provide officers with body cams, and the deputy SWAT vehicle did not have a dash mounted camera. I'm just tired of this. According to 911 recordings obtained by the Associated Press, this and grandma can be heard saying, my grandson just got shot in the back when he came in the house, she told a dispatcher. I don't know if he's okay, the 73-year-old woman said in Friday's recording. Goodson had just gone to the dentist, she told the dispatcher, and she didn't know what had happened or who shot him. The attorney of the family, Sean Walton, told CNN Goodson had put his key into the door before he was shot and fell into the kitchen where his 5-year-old brother and his 72-year-old grandson saw him laying on the ground with a Subway sandwich, okay? Goodson of Ohio, concealed carrier permit holder, was legally armed at the time of the shooting. Why is it, this is the thing, why is it that black people can never have a gun? White folk can. They can go into a Michigan court building with rifles, with ARs, with shotguns, and now nobody gets arrested, nobody gets hurt, nobody gets shot, nobody feels threatened. But let black folk have guns. We're not even pointing them. We have them, you know, concealed, or you have them on you, and you tell police or you don't tell police, but you still get shot, and then they say, oh, they had a gun. So what? It said that he was a concealed carry permit holder. It doesn't matter if he had a gun or not. That should not even have been mentioned in the story. Doesn't matter. Black folk, white folk carry guns all the time. They don't end up dead with a sandwich in their hand, do they? White folk carry guns at court buildings. Nobody brought them up on charges, but you bring in Grandmaster Jay, the NFL leader, up on charges. For what? Because you say he pointed a flashlight, which had a, I don't know what kind of gun. I don't know what kind of Is the gun attached to the flashlight? I have no idea. But you said he pointed it. But Antifa, but there's a law, a new law that they had out, and it was written for Grandmaster J. You know, and this was the law that was written like June 6th or something. You can look it up. But also, it should include Antifa, should include the KKK, should include the white militia, should just not include black militia or black, you know, black people. I'm just saying, it's things is crazy that's happening, but nobody is uproar. Nobody is mad about this. Black folks need to be rising up nationwide about this. This is ridiculous. It said he was a concealed, he had a concealed carry. So it doesn't matter if he had a gun, but if he got shot in the back, you wouldn't have seen that he had a gun anyway. Did he, was he raising the gun? Did he have it out? Doesn't sound like he had it out. Goodson was not alleged to have committed any crime, has no criminal background, and was not the target of any investigation. Okay? Now, this police officer said Goodman, who was not the suspect, drove by and waved a gun at Mr. Meade, according to the U.S. Marshal. Does that even sound right? Come on, you guys. Okay, Meade, who was the deputy, he's a 17-year-old veteran of the Sheriff's Department, had been assigned to U.S. Marshal Fugitive Task Force. The task force had just finished an unsuccessful search for a fugitive on Friday afternoon when Goodson, who was not the suspect, drove by and waved the gun. He drove by and waved the gun. Does that sound right? What? Who? Did you know black folks in this? Okay, how many black folks would? Jasmine, welcome. Double rules, double roles. You right. But how many black folks would actually pass the police and wave a gun? Would you? In this toxic society, does that make sense for anybody black to just, you know? I'm sorry, you guys. This is just not making sense to me. He said, this is just not making sense. Hold on. The officer, the deputy said that the Goodson, when he was driving past, waved the gun. What was he waving the gun at? Who was he waving the gun at? And why would he feel that it was okay? Why would he want to wave a gun at a police officer? Are you serious? This doesn't even sound right. This man is lying. You're not going to tell me he's not lying. My thing is right now, from this day forth, you guys, we are praying that judgment comes to America. That is all I'm praying for right now. Judgment comes to America right now in the name of Yahuwah. That is my prayer, and I hope this is the prayer of everybody in this country that's black. Judgment comes to America, but I guarantee you, if black folk get out of America, judgment will come to America, you guys. Y'all not going to tell me that y'all is pleased with this. This is craziness. You're going to tell a lie on a boy because you know you shot him, and you know that you need to go to jail, so you're going to tell a lie. Oh, he waved a gun at me. That don't even sound right. That's white folks. White folks wave a gun at white folks and get away with it. Black folks don't wave a gun at a police officer or anybody. Yes, police are lying. Yes, he's lying. Black folks don't wave a gun at police and think they're going to get away with it. We know that if we wave a gun, we're going to die. So what would possess this 23-year-old to wave a gun riding past the police? That makes no sense. So I don't know if he got him confused with the white boy that did that. I don't know if that made sense. Was he getting him confused with the white boy? Remember the white boy that was driving in the police car and he waved the gun? He had an axe or a gun or something. Did he get shot or did he get tased? Nothing. He didn't get shot. He didn't get tased. They just arrested him and took him to jail, right? He made it to jail. He was alive when he got to jail. But this dude, his back was turned to the police officer. So if he had a gun, how did he know he had a gun? It makes no sense. And why would you shoot him standing at the door trying to get into his apartment? I don't understand a lot of what's going on, you guys. I'm sorry. I don't understand. I'm going to look up the white guy who waves the gun at police. Now, you had a white guy, this was maybe about a week ago, I think it was, and let's see, white bearing loaded gun wasn't threatening enough for police. Okay, hold on, this is not it. Okay, Okay, this is not it. Okay, this is not it. I can't find it. But yeah, it was a white guy, and he was accused of pointing a gun. I guess he had gotten arrested, or they had pulled him over, and he was in his car, and he was waving a gun at the police officer. If I'm not mistaken, this is the story. Who got stopped? Let me try that one. Who got stopped? I'm really trying to find the story because, I mean, video shows confrontation between armed man and police at traffic stop. This was December. I want you guys to hear this. I want you guys to hear this. Okay. Let me see if they're gonna play it. But my thing is, why wasn't he shot? I'm just saying. I don't know how. Hold on. Let me see. I don't know. Did anybody? Let me see if I can get it. Play it. It looks like body cam footage shows police arrested a man who threatened to shoot officers during a very tense traffic stop, okay? An armed man in Ohio, now same Ohio, okay, threatened to shoot police officers during a traffic stop on a highway, according to the Columbus Dispatch. Footage of the incident was published online by, I'm trying to see, was 3 minutes long, between the 25-year-old Marek Burr, who was identified by the Columbus Dispatcher. I wonder if I can find it. Body cam footage released by the police of Ohio shows an armed man who failed to comply with police. Okay, he failed to comply, right? Threatened to shoot them and fled the scene as they asked him to get out of the vehicles during the traffic stop. The incident was compared to an experience Black Americans have had with law enforcement, okay? Mark Burr, 25, had been pulled over by a state trooper, okay, in Delaware County, Ohio, for speeding on a highway. Burr also had a firearm in his vehicle, according to the dispatch. Township Police Department released the footage on Facebook showing an uncooperative man failing to comply with the police. Okay, it said an uncooperated man failing to comply with police, but he was white, right? I'm going to see if I can play it. Hold on, you guys. Hold on. Let's see if I can play it, get it to play for me. Dang, come on. Boy, they don't want to play that one. Ain't that something? That devil ain't going to play it, is he? It ain't going to play. It ain't gonna play. Oh, shoot. Dang. Boy, ain't that something? It won't play for us, you guys. But that's sad. That is sad. I'm gonna see. Thing won't play for me. It won't play. Ain't that something? Hold on. Hold on. I'm so mad. Hold on. I'm going to try to pull it up another way. Hold on, you guys, because I'm going to get this video up because I want us to see what was the difference in him and the other black folks, that the same thing happened to them. But I can't pull it up, but I'm going to get it up. Hold on. I'm going to see if I can pull it up another way, you guys. Hold on. Y'all bear with me because I want to see this one. I have got to see this one. I'm just saying. Now, he was not cooperating, right? Double standards? Good. Yeah, hey. Good. They're on code, yes, but still, Jasmine, at some point we have to do something. At some point. I want to see if I can pull this video up. Hold on. I'm going to see. I just can't. I'm going to see if I can pull it up. I think this is it. Hold on. Let me see if I can pull it up. Hold on. Of course, I have a. Hold on, you guys. Okay, I'm gonna see. Let's see if we can get it up. Hold on. Begging him. He's begging him to step out the car.
he begging him? Look at him. He's black, they decided. Oh, look at him. They want to talk. They begging him. They just they begging him. They begging him. Just said he gonna drive away. Oh, he drove away. Do we see any shots, you guys? Do we see any shots? Hold on. Okay, family. You just saw that, right? Remember those two teenagers that was inside of the car that drove past the police? This was like 2 weeks ago. The two teenagers that no weapon in the car. The officer said, oh, they were driving toward me. They were actually making a right-hand turn, and the police officer was across the street on the left side, the left side street. This guy just, they saw the gun. The police officer is begging him not to touch the gun, begging him to get out the car. Now, you know, and I know, family, that if that man was black, he would have been dead. This video was 3 minutes long. It took them how long to shoot Jacob? How long is it taking them to shoot anybody? The last boy got shot. He had a sandwich in his hand, right? But they shot him anyway, right? This young man drove away. I didn't hear no shots fired. I didn't hear them calling in. I didn't hear them panicking. I didn't hear them feel threatened, but they saw a gun, but nothing happened. Why is it with black folks, you see a gun, or you see a phone, or you see a pen, you don't even see a gun, you see a phone, and they feel threatened. You see a pen, they feel threatened. You drive away, they shoot inside the car. Did they shoot? Remember the other, it was like maybe a year ago. It was two black guys in the car, and I guess they had some weed in the car. And the police, they drove away. The police jumped on top of the car and shot inside of the car in front. The driver, remember that? Thank you, Desmond, thank you. They didn't shoot. But when they saw the black guys in the car, they shot, right? Why this guy didn't die? Did you hear them begging the guy to get out? Oh, no, please don't do this. Please don't. That was the police officer begging him to get out, begging him not to drive away, begging him to get out the car, begging him not to touch the gun, begging him. I've never heard a police officer. That sounds so foreign in my ears. I'm excited because I'm like, do they actually do that with whites? They actually do that with people? Jasmine, you're right there on code. They tell them to shoot us. You're right. And they didn't shoot. Looking for a reason to shoot. Yes. Looking for a reason to shoot. They are on code. This is sad. They begged that young man. They said they begged him. That's sad. Blog Talk, I hope that you heard what I was trying to see. I don't think they could hear the code. It probably went a little silent, Blog Talk. But we were talking about the incident with a young man. They had a gun in the police in the car. The police stopped him, and they literally begged him to get out the car, begged him not to drive away, begged him not to touch the gun, begged him to put the gun down, begged him, and he still lived. I think all he did was got arrested. But my thing is family. What needs to happen here? Help me out. If we have $1.2 trillion, we either separate, build our own defense, or we leave America. I'm just saying. And I know a lot of people say, where are we going, Kathy? My thing is, what's wrong with the continent? Certain parts of the continent, it's safe. Some certain parts, it's not a whole lot of Chinese, whole not a lot of white folks, it's not a whole lot of anything but black people. I think we have to go. I know we've heard some things, but I think what we've heard has put a damper on us. I think what we've heard has actually been a part of white supremacy to keep us separate.
A lot of, they don't want us to come together with Africans. You know that. I've heard what people say, oh, Africans don't like you. I don't know that. The Africans that I know, the Africans that I've met don't have a problem with me. The Africans that I hang out with, they love me. I'm just saying. I've looked up, you know, leaving. I've looked up building land. I've looked up building in Africa. I've looked at leaving America, going to Africa. And, a lot of people were telling me, I listened to Phil Scott. He said they love us. They want us to come home. They want us to build. They want to come and build with us. They want us to come and build there so that we can offer them jobs. They want us to come. So when I hear people say, oh, they don't like us, how do you know? I've not heard one that said that they didn't. I've heard white supremacy tell us that. I've heard what white folks say about Africans when it comes to us, but I've never heard them say that they have an issue with us. So my thing is, I'm not going to believe white folk. I'm not going to believe black people that have never been anywhere. When did it do? Okay, we'll do it later. Okay, that's my going to do. I'm sorry. We got to do better. We have to decide. I was looking at a program today where it's like $500 to purchase land in Africa, $1,500 at the most, $2,000, $2,500. If we have one man was talking about it, if you put down like a down payment down, you could pay on it. I'm just saying. I do believe that we need to visit. We need to go there and see. I think we need to stop believing what white folk are telling us about Africa or what we're seeing on TV about Africa, because they want to divide and keep us divided and conquered. They want us to continuously be afraid of our brother and sister and not and have more animosity against them. I think they want us to, you know, divide and conquer. That way we will never come together with them. This is why they have so many languages, different languages in Africa. They divided those people up, and they have this group here, this group here, this group, and every group is speaking a different language. Then they put the tribes. You can't put colors together. You can't put colors against each other because they're all black. So what they do, they put the tribes against one another. So they go tribal. Oh, my tribe is better than your tribe. What? You're all black. Whose tribe is better than any? Nobody needs a tribe. Come together as one. Africa, African. Come together as one. The continent. Come together and bring down the borders. No more visas. No more borders. No more different countries. No more different continents. Just Africa. And rename it. I think you should rename it, because I think a white man came over there and named it Africa anyway. It used to be called Negro Land from Dr. Stephen Darby. Stephen Darby talked to us about Africa and the names, and I do believe that he was saying that it was called Negro Land at first. It needs to get back to being called Negro Land. I think it needs to, you need to take the borders down. You get to go into Tanzania. No visa. If you want to leave Tanzania and go to Kenya, you should be able to do that. If I want to go to Gambia, I should be able to do that without a visa. I should be able to travel any place in Africa without a visa. Africa is the only continent that I know that you have to have visas to go from country, continent to continent. I think if you're in Africa, you should be able to go anywhere you want to without a visa. I don't know if they're doing that for money purposes or what, but I think things need to change. But I do believe that we have to get busy. We have to start thinking as far as the plan. What's the plan? I know there's going to be a great exodus. If you know who you are and you're understanding, you're following Told Ministries, and if you're following the different ministries that are woke, like Ron Dalton, he's getting ready to get a trip together going to Africa. Told Ministries talks about Africa and who we are. Stephen Darby talks about who we are. They jacked us, who we are, Negro Land, three videos you want to look at. I think there is a great exodus coming, and I don't believe that it's going to be I think it's going to be within the next 6 months to a year. I do believe that we should be thinking about moving now. You have 100 people, and there are programs, Blaxit. There is a program, Blaxit, BLAXIT, has it on YouTube, and she talks about repatriation back to Africa. They're offering money to help you to get back. Sister Yaya, on YouTube, she talks about the repatriation money to help you to get back to Africa. I do believe that all of this is happening because we're afraid to move. We're afraid to leave. We're afraid of the future. We're afraid of unknown. We're afraid to leave. But my thing is, you say, hey, what if we go there and die? What if you stay here and die? I'm just saying. I think we need to be thinking about doing something.
They're on cold. They are always on cold, you guys. They are always on cold. That's the sad part about it. They are on cold. And when are we going to get on cold? Either we're going to build here, we're going to separate. I have a community store. We're going to put that in the comments. It's on the GoFundMe, and I'm going to put it in comments now. It's on the GoFundMe. New Beginnings. This is the GoFundMe. It's under New Beginnings. That's for the community store. Okay? Don't forget the community store. I'm going to put it in there again. That's what our GoFundMe is under for the community store that we're offering. So don't forget GoFundMe for Grandmaster. And her name, the lady that's doing it, is Rosa Parker. Rosemary. Hold on, Rose. Her name for Grandmaster J is Rosemary Parker. When I did go under GoFundMe, I did see two. I want you guys to support our brother. I didn't want to be on here all day. I want you, that is for Grandmaster J. And Rose Parker is the one that's offering it. And I want you guys to remember our brother. Do not leave him out there. Do not leave him out there alone. Do not leave him to fend for himself. Do not leave him to fight this battle for himself. He's doing it for us. So we need to return the favor and go and support our brother. I don't care if you give $10, $20, $15. I don't care. Every 2 weeks, give something. Make it like you're paying your tithes. And I know, honey, we paid our tithes. Do $100 this week and $100 next pay. I'm just saying, we paid our tithes. If you can pay your tithes, act like this is your tithe. Because this brother gave out a lot of information. He was there for us. And we are not going. We will support our brother. We will not turn our back on our brother. So GoFundMe. GoFundMe. Grandmaster J and Rosemary Parker is in charge of it, okay? There are two out there. I seen two when I went to GoFundMe for J Master, because Grandmaster J, and her name is Rose Parker, the one who has it up for him, okay? So that's the one we want to concentrate on, okay? I do appreciate you guys for visiting, coming by, and us talking, but I think now it's time for us to make some choices. It's time for us to do something, family. I do see things coming together, but, you know, I'm just sitting back watching. But my thing is, I want to leave. My plans are to leave, and I'm getting my stuff together, and I'm going to leave. I'm not going to raise my granddaughter in this. I'm not going to raise any of my grandkids in this, and I am going to create a new reality for them, and it's going to, in Africa, so be it. I can go from one city to another. I'm not going to take anybody's word for it, but when I get there, I'm going to do some shows on Africa, and I am going to, you know, put them out there so you guys can know what to expect, okay? So that's it, family. I am going to end with that note. I want you guys to think about what it is we need to do, and it's time to go, okay? We've done this thing for way too long. Just what Biden has told us, he's not going to do anything for black people. We have to learn to get along with Mexicans or immigrants that aren't even born here. We have to get along with them. Why do we have to get along with them? Why can't you do for us like you do for everybody else? Why can't you do for black people the way you did for the Jews and the Indians and the Asians and now the immigrants? Everybody's over us. My thing is, I went to the mall the other day, and I told you how I've seen a lot of immigrants, a lot of Mexicans working. I'm like, where are the black people? The black people don't work at the mall? Where are the black men working? Where are the black people working, period? I see these jobs, and I'm like, you guys, if they're not going to hire us for work, get your own and hire your own. It's time for us to do something different, family. If they're going to treat you like stepchildren, then guess what? When stepchildren get grown, they move out and they go away. Okay, bye. I'm just saying, we have to do something. We can't just sit here and die. We don't have leaders that's going to have our back. So we have to move in groups. We have to do group economics. Create our own reality that we want to see, and it's going to take us doing it and stop looking to Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and Roland Martin and all those crazy people in leadership, because they've not done
have not done. The Obamas of the world have not done anything for us, and not ever going to do anything for us, but they're going to dangle a carrot in our face and hope and pray that we still swallow what they're, you know, been feeding us. And we're done. Defund, dismantle, and give us reparations, the police. Defund, dismantle the police, and give us reparations so that we can build our own reality and we can leave. I'm just saying. Enough is enough. You've just seen the video. You know what Biden said. We need to get along with Mexicans. Why do we need to get along with immigrants who weren't even born here? No, I'm not going to get along with immigrants. I'm going to build our own new reality. And that's why I was trying to do GoFundMe for the new Beginnings Community Store. It's a group of us that's doing it, and I'm going to leave it to them. But I'm just doing the legwork, looking for the spot. And we're going to open up our own community store, and that'll be a place for us to come in case they get to a place where they say, oh, you guys can't eat. Oh, we're going to eat. Y'all may not eat, but we're going to eat. I'm just saying. We're going to have security around it 24 hours a day. So if y'all want to come up there and act fool, we're going to handle our business. I'm just saying. We're going to do this different. We are going to do this different. I appreciate each and every one that tuned in. Thank you so much. And I hope I've said something to open your eyes. I hope I've tried to cover not just when I do a topic, I do that topic plus other topics that's really you know, something for us to focus on throughout the week. But I think we need to do some we really need to understand about Africa. And I think I'm going to bring my African tigers friend on again, and we're going to have another conversation about Africa. And if you guys have any questions, you guys can email me, hardtruth12@gmail.com. Hardtruth12@gmail.com. I do appreciate everybody that tuned in. Thank you so much, family. With that said, I'm going to allow you guys to have the rest of your day and enjoy the rest of your day. And think about some things and start journaling. Write some things down. What's the next step for us? You already saw Grandmaster Jay. You already saw what they're doing to him. They're trying to destroy him, trying to quiet him. My thing is, anybody else that rise up, they're going to try to quiet them too. I don't even want to fight the system. The hell with the system. I'm moving forward. Y'all can stay here and y'all can keep doing what you want to do. But like I said, the community store will be here for the ones that need it. But as far as me and mine, I'm out. I'm not doing this no more. I can't. When I see stuff like that, with that police officer, and the boy was actually allowed to leave, and no problems, he wasn't shot. He wasn't conforming either, but he wasn't shot. He wasn't killed. He wasn't tased. He was allowed to live. I gotta go. I can't do this no more. But you guys have an amazing day on purpose. Peace, family. Does what it wants to do. My computer does what it wants to do. Look at there. I gotta wait a minute, huh? Isn't that crazy? I mean, let me end the podcast. My guest isn't supposed to keep talking, huh? But Blog Talk, thank you for coming. Thank you, Blog Talk, for. Thank you, Blog Talk. I appreciate each and every person that tuned in. Tune in again, and we're going to do this again. With that said, I want you guys to have an amazing night. I know I keep switching my time, but I'm trying to find the best time for us to come on. And usually I'm thinking it's during the day. I used to come on at 7 o'clock on Thursday nights, but I think during the day, usually 12 o'clock Tuesdays is going to be our day and our time. So if you guys want to put that down, that it's going to be 12 o'clock on Tuesdays, that we're going to come, okay? I do appreciate each and every person that tuned in, and we'll try to do this again sometime. With that said, I want you guys to have a great day, and think about what we've talked about, because it's now time for us to make some moves. It's time for us to choose what it is we want to do, and what are our choices? We need to have some choices, and maybe we'll talk about the choices and what choices we have in order to leave, and what's the fear. What's the fear of people leaving? I think there's a fear, and I think we need to bring it to the table. What is the fear? The fear of us not succeeding, the fear of what? Okay? We're going to talk about that next time.
Take care, family. Peace.